If there's anybody here for the public hearing for this, but I put it on a board as well. This is Land of Philmont Holdings LLC. Our client is right here, Mr. Burfond.
Good evening.
And they own a lot of properties in the village of Philmont, but these five here are the subject of our lot line adjustment. We are adjusting the lines of the property to make them fit more efficiently with the existing buildings that are on the property. These lots were created a hundred years ago when there were blacksmith shops and what have you on the property. So the lot lines don't make any sense with the buildings that are there now. We're cleaning that up, and at the same time, we're taking what's now five tax map parcels, turning it into four. So I think it's better for the village to have it like this. It's better for the applicant and anybody that owns it after that to have the lot lines not go through the buildings or not miss the setback requirements. Now, as you know, we took it in front of the ZBA and we're given a blanket variance for the setbacks that were not met, lot sizes that were not met. So hopefully you have a copy of the ZBA application, the ZBA approval.
We're aware of it, yeah.
Yeah, so at this point in time, we're asking the planning board to approve the lot line adjustment the way we have shown on the map. Cleans everything up. We wrote up a nice little narrative of what we're doing in the application.
I've got to hear some work. Yep.
Yeah. So it's five lots being turned into four, getting rid of building encroachments, basically.
Okay. Any questions?
No questions.
Better not.
Looks good to me.
Yeah. This is the property right on the corner there. It used to be Burby's office building, Johnny Walker Insurance.
I looked at your original submission and looked it over.
Yeah.
I approve.
Well, why don't you get on the planning board?
So we're free to close the public hearing before I make public comment.
I'll make a motion.
Second.
Who made the second? Ozzy?
Ozzy.
All right, all in favor of closing the public hearing?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
And then the next step is to do the seeker form. It would be a short form. We could go through the questions, but there isn't any physical construction or change to the sites here. It's just lines on deeds on maps that are going to get filed. So I would surmise that we don't anticipate any significant negative environmental impacts by the lot line adjustment. So if the board agrees with that, you're free to make a motion to issue a negative declaration for purposes of seeker.
I'll make the motion.
I'll second it.
Second by Rick Killerhouse. All right, all in favor of making a negative declaration?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, carry.
And then the last motion would be a motion to approve the boundary line adjustment. But we don't have a boundary line adjustment law in the village of Philmont, so we would make a motion to approve the minor subdivision.
Make the motion.
I'll second it. Who's first?
Who made the motion, Ozzy?
Ozzy.
All right, Judy seconded it. All right, all in favor of accepting the minor subdivision?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Okay. Now, I would just like to say that there's a little bit of a time constraint on getting this map filed with the county clerk's office. I don't know what your policy is on stamping the maps at the meeting. If we could ask that you do that, it would be great.
Do you need it tonight or can you get it tomorrow?
Well, wanted to file it tomorrow. If you can't stamp it tonight, then I guess we could pick it up in the morning. But there's a special circumstance here.
I understand.
Yeah.
I could stamp it tonight if you could wait till the meeting's over. Otherwise, I'll stamp it all tonight and sign it and have it in the office for you first thing in the morning.
I'm going to wait.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Sounds good.
Okay.
Thank you very much, everybody.
Thank you.
So we're all
All right, now we'll call a meeting to order to hear from the Woods.
Okay, good evening, everyone. And you had the lights off. I wasn't sure if you were having a meeting tonight, so glad to see you all. We're here tonight just to follow up on one outstanding item. For your record, I'm Brandy Nelson.
Thank you.
I'm the engineer with Ty and Bond, and we're the engineers for the here on behalf of Clover Reach Partners for the Woods. And so I'll give you this letter that I'll run through tonight. There was a question that was raised in a communication to the board by Mr. Pano regarding the sufficiency of the roadway as it pertains to the fire code. And I can send this to you guys digitally as well, so you got it. So we had received the letter, and just by way of background, as you recall, the roadway for the Woods is proposed to be a one-way road. So it doesn't have the normal two-way road width to it because we're trying to do a couple of things. Address the fact that the site is sloped, minimize grading and cuts and fills, minimize the amount of clearing that needs to happen. And we recognize from the outset of this project that that was unique in the village, and we've talked with the village board about it, we've talked with you folks about it, and we've gone through what the environmental benefits are of that. And Mr. Pano's letter, if I can just like summarize it very, very briefly, is just a concern that the road doesn't meet the requirements of the New York State Fire Code Appendix D, which pertains to the width of fire apparatus access roads. And so in Appendix D of the Fire Code, which I've got here in the first paragraph of the letter, it says, where fire hydrants are located on an apparatus access road, the minimum road width shall be 26 feet, exclusive of shoulders. All right, and that pertains to new roads, obviously. I mean, you live in a historic village, there's probably a lot of roads that aren't 26 feet wide. What is unique about the code and our project is that the code is silent on a one-way road. We assume that it pertains to a two-way road because 26 feet, 22, 24, 26 feet is really a common width that's used for modern two-way road design. So what we did was we did a little research into the code, but we reached out to the New York State Department of State Division of Building Code and Standards. And both by email and then by phone, we had conversations with code officials at the state. And in those discussions, we went through what the conditions are for the site. So the first is that the new one-way looping road is going to serve new single-family residential houses totaling 16 dwelling units. That's pertinent just because they want to know how many, what type of use is being served, is it residential or commercial, and then what is the density of the population. The second is that the road is 16 feet wide in total. That's a 12-foot paved lane with 2-foot shoulders on either side. So this is all stuff you guys have seen before. We're just recapping it. That the road is graded and proposed as one way to accommodate the land slope, to reduce the amount of grading, to reduce the amount of clearing, and preserve the view shed and calm traffic, which we've always understood is important both to the board and to the community. The road construction, the subbase, is going to be designed per village standard, so that speaks to the strength of the road's ability to carry and support heavy trucks. And that we completed in our design effort in AutoCAD a computer design that demonstrates the turning movements for the village's largest fire apparatus. We worked with the village on that. We've included in our packet of materials that turn radius. We also provided that information to the fire chief and then met with the chief to review the plans. And he has previously provided, and it's included in the village's record, a letter indicating that he worked with us to review the plans and that he, quote, found the road to, quote, show good accessibility for fire apparatus and present no known issues for emergency vehicle operations. In addition, each of the houses is going to be served by driveways, which have plenty of space for parking, and we've agreed to have no on-street parking on the roadway, so further reducing the chance that that roadway would be blocked. And lastly, we're served by municipal water, and we're providing 4 fire hydrants at a spacing of about 500 feet per. That's 1 hydrant for every 4 houses, so that's considerable as compared to what you have in the village, although it does meet the minimum recommended spacing per the 10 state standards. So we sent all that information up to the Department of State in writing and also had a conversation with one of the code officials. And what that official replied was that, and I'll summarize, but the text here is quoted. He talks about how the code does require different conditions for emergency responders, that fire apparatus need to be able to park within the roadway during a fire emergency, that that minimum roadway widths are specified in the code and are intended to anticipate for that need for emergency service vehicles to park, and that parking is not allowed on a fire access road because there's not enough time to remove vehicles when there is a fire emergency. And then he goes on to say in the second sentence that section 503.2.2 of the fire code enables the local authority having jurisdiction to modify the minimum widths for a fire apparatus access road. And so in closing, he said, you'll need to have the AHJ answer your question for a definitive answer. So AHJ for the fire code is the local fire official, the chief. So again, just to recap, you know, we described the process by which we undertook the design. We've talked to the code official at the state. The code official said that the fire chief has got the authority to accept a differing width. And we have that letter in the record already from the fire chief. So given that, we believe that that addresses this outstanding issue and that there aren't any remaining outstanding issues, and we'd encourage the board to move forward with approving the subdivision. And I know that was a lot to put on you, but a lot of it you've seen before. We just wanted to recap that the Department of State's been involved now.
Rob, what do you think of that?
I was a party to Brandy forwarded on the email exchange with the New York State Division of Codes, and had they thought a variance would be required, they would have recommended they apply for one. The uniqueness to this is that it's a one-way road, not a two-way road. Two-way road contemplates that the fire apparatus would be dealing with traffic both ways. They gave me the revised restrictive covenants that will give the village and them the ability to restrict parking. There'll be no parking on the street. It's not to say someone couldn't have a party and have cars parked there, but they've demonstrated with CAD drawing that they can get a fire apparatus around. And back to the Division of Codes, they asked, do we need to come get a variance from you because this doesn't meet the literal definition of a two-way road for code? And the email response with them from them was, as Brandy says, it's up to the AHJ, which they like a lot of acronyms, but the authority having jurisdiction, which is the fire chief. That is what codes is saying. So if they were to say, let's apply for a variance anyway, they would say, we told you you don't need one, it's up to the fire chief. So we have that, as Brandy said, letter on record. So I think that the issue is covered. From a legal standpoint, we went to the authority that interprets their own regulations and said, is there an issue here? And they said no.
All right, so liability-wise, I mean, we're covered.
Yeah, I mean, the municipality doesn't generally have liability for things like fire protection and police services, because if the Constitution and the state laws provided liability, then no one would provide those services. So the village is generally immune. Your responsibility is to make sure that it's planned appropriately so it's accessible. It's like, for instance, I can give you an example. Claverick, at one point in time, restricted grades on driveways, and then they removed that grade. The first 30 feet can't have more than a 3% grade, but the rest of it could be a goat path if you want. If your fuel oil trucks, your ambulance can't get up, and your fire truck can't get up, that's the owner's responsibility because they built it that way. So putting that into this example, we're complying with the regulations as to the public access road. We've gotten the fire chief and his apparatus, his ability to get around there by CAD drawing. So I think we've covered it. We've done our due diligence to make sure that there can be adequate fire protection there.
Anything you want to add, George?
No, I agree.
Any questions from the board?
Yes.
Go ahead.
I'm not sure about the one-way road, two-way road, why that's significant in terms of a minimum width. But can you explain to me in this road that you're designing, how do two emergency vehicles pass each other?
how do two emergency vehicles pass each other? Is that your question?
Yeah. Well,
we're not making provisions for passing necessarily. It's a one-way road, so the circulation is in a singular direction. Are there places where, if need be, I mean, my husband was a volunteer fireman for a number of years, so just observing what goes on with volunteer fire companies or emergency service providers in general is that they'll do what they need to do if they need to get past. Now, I believe a fire truck is somewhere on the order of 8 to 9 feet wide, depending on, you know, where the mirrors are at one time. So there are plenty of driveway aprons where someone could pull over if need be and they could pass. But the point is we went and we talked to the chief. The chief would be the one who would be responding, and we wanted to make sure that he would be comfortable with the roadway. So we did the sweat path analysis that shows how the vehicle maneuvers. He didn't ask us to provide a passing analysis or anything like that. And so we've done what is traditionally done as far as seeking out the input from the authority who would be responding to the emergency.
I would also like to point out two things we did. One is that driveway aprons are being paved. That was a request by the DPW. That's not a requirement in the code. You know, so that makes an extra area. They're being paved 20 feet. So that's an extra area that's being provided, you know, for safety use. And then the other thing is it is a one-way road, but it's a loop, so it is possible to go in the other direction if you need to bring more vehicles to a certain point on the road. So,
right. So instead of putting this on you, I would like to request to hear from the chief to just get his response of how he thinks multiple emergency vehicles from different departments and agencies, which in my mind is the reason for the minimum width of the road in the code, how he sees that working, just so we understand it. That's important because when the developer is done, they're out of this. Then it's the municipality that's taking over this road and will be responsible for it. So if we could just hear a further explanation, because it's not explained in the letter, and being a professional, a licensed professional myself, I have sometimes had to do something that was against what was in the code, and certainly ethically and I believe legally, I was responsible to explain why I'm doing that. So I think we deserve that explanation before we can decide for sure that the municipality is going to take on a road that doesn't meet the standards.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, I mean, we've met with the chief very early in this process, again, recognizing the uniqueness of the road and the configuration. He's written a letter that is already part of the record. I'm not sure if Mr. Pano has received that previously, and I apologize, I didn't think to bring an extra copy tonight to hand out, but, you know, we met with him, we sat down with him, we went through the configuration, we went through the water supply, and that letter is in the record.
And honestly, I've talked to him, and he assured me that he did not see any issues. And I really don't know why a passing issue would be an issue at all, Tom.
Have you ever been to an emergency?
Mr.
Chairman, I would just like to say that I think we've done more than our due diligence on this issue, and I would ask that the board move along past this issue. I think we've provided more than enough proof that it's an adequate.
Well, may I ask, you said you met with the chief, so can you explain it so the rest of us can understand it? I, by the way, have read the letter several times.
Could we please move along?
The municipality is taking over the responsibility of this road, and I think we need to get this understood.
But the responsibility of the road, Tom, only lies in the construction of the road. It doesn't lie in the ability to be able to pass somebody or whatever.
The municipality is taking over the full maintenance and the responsibility for everything that has to happen in a public right of way.
I disagree that I live on a two-way street and people can park on it and two emergency vehicles could not probably pass easily But that's not the village's issue. I mean, that's...
Well, and I think the issue is that we can't extract a more demanding code from them or apply it to them when they've went to the New York State Department of Codes, who interprets their own code, and it's their code. We just administer it. And they have said you don't need a variance. It's up to the local jurisdiction, and the local jurisdiction, being the fire chief, was presented with a plan, was presented with a CAD drawing, is fully comprehensive as far as he's every event in Philmont is a mutual aid event. He knows the trucks that are going to come. They take into account whether they need a pumper or a tanker. They've got the booster pumps and the fire supply and the hydrants up there. So I you know, from a firematic standpoint, I don't think he neglected anything. And as you said, Chairman, if you followed up with him, you feel satisfied with that. I don't see an issue here that we can stop the application from proceeding forward with, because we have the documentation in our record.
All right, so how do we put this to a vote, Rob? What's the next step?
Well, what does the majority of the planning board believe? Are you ready to move forward with the consideration of the application based upon what's presented?
Well, let's find out. I need a motion to move forward with the application.
I'll make a motion.
Second?
I'll second.
Who's that?
Rick. All right, a motion and a second to move forward with the application. All in favor?
Aye.
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 No.
Oppose?
No.
All right, so
just to
pass it.
Duly note in our record, Mr. Pano, you know, for the concerns that he noted.
Mr. Pano voted no. We got a yes from Ozzy, Rick, Judy, and myself.
And Jessica, just for that motion, it would be that the application is fully complete for consideration.
All right, what's our next step?
The next phase, if you're ready to do that, would be to review the SECRE Part 2 form. We've had the SECRE Part 1. It's been circulated to the necessary agencies. We haven't received any substantive comment back from any outside agencies other than the agreeance that you are the lead agency. We declared the Planning Board as the lead agency, so it's your obligation to take a hard look under purposes of SECRE for any significant negative environmental impacts that could arise due to the subdivision as proposed. So George is our man with the plan as it comes when the Part 2 form. So he'll take us through the questions. If on any question a planning board member has an issue or wants to address it or explore it, there are sub-questions which are examples of significant impacts. So we'll just go through it. So if any point along the line anyone wants to develop or explore one of the questions further, we'll do that as we go through.
All right. Do you need a light, George?
I can probably read it.
Okay.
All right. Impact on land. The proposed action may involve construction on or physical alteration of the land surface of the proposed site. That would be a yes. All right. The proposed action may involve construction on land where depth of the water table is less than 3 feet. That would be no to small impact. The proposed action may involve construction on slopes of 15% or greater. That would be a no to small impact, again, due to the limited scope and the fact that they have prepared an erosion center control plan in compliance with state rules and regs that would prevent, or to the most extent practical, erosion. The proposed action may involve construction on land where bedrock is exposed or generally within 5 feet of existing ground surface. Again, that would be no to small impact. The proposed action may involve the excavation and removal of more than 1,000 tons of natural material, no to small impact. The proposed action may involve construction that continues for more than 1 year on or in multiple phases, no to small impact. The proposed action may result in an increase in erosion where from physical disturbance or vegetation removal, including from the treatment by herbicides. Again, I would say no to small impact. The proposed action is or may be located within a critical coastal erosion hazard area. That's a no. Impact on geological features. The proposed action may result in the modification or destruction of or inhibit access to any unique or unusual landforms on site. I believe that answer would be a no. Impacts on surface water. The proposed action may affect one or more wetlands or other surface water bodies such as streams, rivers, ponds, or lakes. I guess that probably would be a yes.
No.
The proposed action may create a new water body. I again, that would be note of small impact. The only water body being created is a stormwater pond, which is required by the state stormwater pollution prevention regulations. Proposed action may result in an increase or decrease of over 10% or more than a 10-acre increase or decrease in the surface area of any body of water. Note of small impact. The proposed action may involve dredging more than 100 cubic yards of material from a wetland or water body. No. The proposed action may involve construction within an adjoining or freshwater or tidal wetland or in the bedded banks of any other water body. Note a small impact. The proposed action may create turbidity in a water body either from upland erosion, runoff, or by disturbing bottom sediments. Again, note a small impact. Proposed action may include construction of one or more intakes for withdrawal of water from surface water. No. The proposed action may include construction of one or more outfalls for discharge of wastewater to the surface water. We note a small impact. The proposed action may cause soil erosion or otherwise create a source of stormwater discharge that may lead to the siltation or other degradation of receiving water bodies. Again, note a small impact due to the preparation of the stormwater pollution prevention plan. The proposed action may affect the water quality of any water bodies within or downstream of the site of the proposed action. No. The proposed action may involve the application of pesticides or herbicides in or around any water body. Note a small impact. The proposed action may require the construction of new or expansion of existing wastewater treatment facilities. So that would be a small impact. And they are increasing the wastewater distribution collection system there, but it's all within the capacity of the system. Impact on groundwater. The proposed action may result in new or additional use of groundwater or may have the potential to introduce contaminants to groundwater or an aquifer.
Yeah, I think all the examples are, we're not creating
really
wells.
No, yeah, we're not really creating anything. So I'm going to suggest that answer would be no. Impact on flooding. The proposed action may result in development on land subject to flooding. That I believe to be a no. Impacts on air. The proposed action may include a state-regulated air emission source. No. Impacts on plants and animals. The proposed action may result in a loss of flora or fauna. That would be a yes. The proposed action may cause reduction in population or loss of individuals of any threatened or endangered species as listed by New York State or the federal government that use the site or are found on, over, or near the site. That would be no small impact. The proposed action may result...
Just to stop for a second.
Sure.
There was timing issues to make sure that we didn't disturb any of the bat species that were there.
That's correct.
And that's one of the conditions of the approval.
Yeah. I remember.
Sorry, George. I'll just...
No.
I'll jump in when I remember anything.
Absolutely.
If you remember anything,
yeah,
point it out as well.
I absolutely can. I didn't know if you wanted to.
The proposed action may result in a reduction or degradation of any of the habitat used by any rare, threatened, or endangered species as listed by New York State or the federal government. Again, there'd be no small impact given the provisions that have already been taken. The proposed action may cause reduction in population or loss of individuals of any species of special concern or conservation need as listed by New York State or the federal government that use the site or are found on, over, or near the site. Again, same answer, no small impact. The proposed action may result in the reduction or degradation of any habitat used by the species of special concern and conservation need as listed by New York State or the federal government. Again, no small impact. Okay, the proposed action may diminish the capacity of a registered national landmark or support the biological community it was established to protect. No. The proposed action may result in the removal of or ground disturbance in any portion of a designated significant natural community. I believe that to be a no. The proposed action may substantially interfere with nesting, breeding, foraging, or overwintering habitat for the predominant species that occupy or use the project site. No to small impact. The proposed...
How is that no?
Sorry, we're not in public hearing, but to answer your comment, it has to be a protected or endangered species.
That wasn't what he just read.
The proposed action may substantially interfere with the nesting, breeding, foraging, or overwintering habitat for the predominant species that occupy or use the project site.
Okay.
That's predominant, that's not endangered.
Right, but, you know, they're gonna kill a lot of earthworms when they dig foundations, but that doesn't hit a level of disturbance that can significantly affect.
Well, it hits a level of special concern if you look at the state laws and environmental.
The time over the months was for someone to bring that to the applicant's attention or the planning board's attention.
Well, we did.
We did.
We did.
Well, I don't know, nobody addressed it. Nobody addresses it, and they keep putting it off like it doesn't exist.
I don't know if you would like to speak to it, Brandy, or?
I can speak to it, sure. So when we do an analysis of impacts to species, the focus is typically on species that are threatened or endangered, species of special concern. You know, it's common species like a skunk or a gray squirrel or some of your common bird species, you know, they exist in large number and they will relocate from a construction area into other areas, and when homes are built, they will return. You know, they'll avoid the construction site. So the state isn't generally concerned with that. We did make both an inquiry to the DEC's Natural Resource Heritage Program regarding species of concern, and we also made an inquiry through the federal IPAC system, which is U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and those documents are in the record. So customarily, we're focused on issues pertaining to species with threatened or endangered status.
I would just like to very respectfully say that the wording of that question sounds like the answer is yes. So the fact that you're going through all of these questions so quickly and minimizing these impacts just strikes me as very odd.
Well, the impacts have to be a significant negative environmental impact to the overall environment of Philmont. And based upon the acreage of the site and the documentation that's been presented, and there's been no evidence submitted by any public during the public hearing or anything else other than inquiry, that there is a predominant species that's going to be displaced in their overwintering habitat in the area, then the board is free to go forward and consider it based upon the comments. And again, we're not in public hearing, but we'll take the comment.
I appreciate that.
We'll address it. We'll have Brandy address it. And
well,
she did.
I appreciate it, too. You all need to take a walk in the woods and see what's out there.
Thank you.
We're watching all kinds. We're watching bald eagles. We're watching kingfishers, herons. There's ravens. There's a lot of bird life, wood ducks that are involved in that area. So
that's all true.
The honest answer to that question is yes, there will be a negative impact on the predominant
significant negative environmental impact that requires the project mitigation and makes us require the owners of the lot to not be able to develop the site because of that impact. That's what we're looking for here. As George has said, a lot of these questions are no to small impact or small impact. We're not saying to the public that there's not going to be any impact to animals and wildlife and plants out there by this project. We're saying the Village of Philmont has zoning that allows them to build a subdivision of lots and sell them to people. And we just need to, like up by the Krause Gates Mall when the new Carter butterfly was discovered, it was a significant endangered species that needed to be protected and it stopped the development. We've done the due diligence, they've gone to all the sources, they provided it to the board, we've had public comment, and we haven't found anything that would change that. And I'll even go so far as to say, if they start to develop and were to find an endangered or threatened species, that they would have an obligation to stop and address it.
Was there a separate question pertaining to endangered species?
Yes, there was.
Yeah.
So this is a redundant question, you're saying?
This is the predominant species, so it doesn't necessarily have to be endangered.
That's what I'm hearing. He's arguing that it has to be endangered?
No, it's not that it has to be for this question, but again, the predominant species on the site is going to be normal mammals and birds that we see everywhere, right?
No.
So again, they're going to
retreat into the
woods during construction, and then after construction, again, they're going to come back, and the raccoons are going to be in these yards, right? Skunks are going to be back foraging in the yards.
It sounds like both are correct.
It is a small impact, but it's not. It's not like you're blocking this area out, and the predominant species that are there are going to be not only not there anymore, but somehow significantly adversely affected.
For instance, if we were making a Krause Gates Mall with a 5-acre parking lot, then the raccoons and the squirrels and the birds and things would not be able to come back.
Right.
So that's what this question is trying to get at.
Really, as your community, we're not talking about raccoons and skunks. Those are very common. We're talking about a very unique, significant, and rare habitat in Columbia.
So you would have us deny their application based upon some basic predominant species that could be displaced and may not come back? We would need documentation to be able to do that.
I think it's worth exploring it in a fair way. I've lived in 5 towns in this county. There's nothing like Summit Lake in any town that I've been in Columbia County. It's a very unique environment. And obviously, this is an impact.
All right, George, let's move along.
Yeah, I mean, let's just impanel it, because your obligation is to take a hard look, and we've let the public address it, even though we're outside of public hearing. Does any board member, based upon the commentary that we just have, want to stop and readdress any of that situation? Or should we move forward?
Move forward.
Okay, let's move forward. So we'll go with no notice, small impact.
Just one question. When that gentleman abruptly left, he passed a board member a note. Is that legal?
And Mr. Pano, I mean, obviously you can communicate with any resident that you want to. Would you like to share what the note was, or is it relevant? I mean, is it something that's...
Contact information.
All right, so it doesn't pertain to anything you're deliberating tonight?
No.
Okay. Great, thank you.
All right, continuing along. The proposed action requires the conversion of more than 10 acres of forest, grassland, or any other regionally or locally important habitat. And again, it would require a specific habitat type and information source. Given the information we have, I would again say that would be a small impact. Proposed action, commercial, industrial, recreational projects only involve use of herbicides aggressives. Again, that doesn't really apply to us, but it would be no small impact. Impact on agricultural resources. The proposed action may impact agricultural resources. That would be a no. Impact on aesthetic resources. Land use of the proposed action are obviously different from or are in sharp contrast to current land use patterns between the proposed project and a scenic or aesthetic resource. An answer would be no.
Well, and we can,
this is great.
We can say, yeah, thank you for your comment, but it's not public hearing. We're trying to cross this through the form. Okay, just some decorum. So let's answer it yes. Because there are going to be some visual impacts, but again, we're looking for significant negative environmental impacts by the housing development as proposed.
Could you read some of those examples of what...
That's what we're going to do. That's why I said let's go to yes and let's go to the sample questions and see if they trigger anything.
Thank you.
Yep.
The proposed action may be visible from any officially designated federal, state, or local scenic or historic aesthetic resource. Again, I think based on the visual analysis submitted, I'm not even sure if Summit Lake is an official designated resource, but if we wanted to say that it was, that again, that would be a small impact. The proposed action may result in the obstruction, elimination, or significant screening of one or more officially designated scenic views. You know. The proposed action may be visible from publicly accessible vantage points, seasonally screened by summer foliage, but visible during other seasons or all year round. Again, I believe those answers, based on the information submitted, would be small impact. The situation or activity in which viewers are engaged while viewing the proposed action is routine travel by residents, including travel to and from work, or recreational or tourism-based activities. Again, I think in both of those instances, whether you're traveling on a road or on the lake, that would be a small impact. The proposed action may cause a diminishment of the public enjoyment and appreciation of the designated aesthetic resource. Again, I would submit that.
I would say
a
yes. That's what we're all sitting here saying.
Again, this isn't the public hearing. They submitted a visual analysis to the board. The public
is
a... If you're going to talk over me, we're not going to have any communication. We won't take any comment at all. I would be more than welcome for the board to indulge. It helps the seeker review to hear your points. But the applicant submitted a visual analysis with point of sight. They've mitigated the color of the houses, location of the houses. They've restricted the removal of the trees. We've covered all that. And it's the planning board, if it's in your satisfaction, that creates. And again, the property is zoned, so you can put residential housing up there. We can't say they can't do it unless there's a significant negative environmental impact. And as we've discussed before, for a significant environmental visual impact, it would have to basically take out the resource. For instance, the eager cell towers that were in Livingston that were going to be in Frederick Church's viewshed of Olana. That was a significant one. It's the only one I've seen locally. So if the board's agreeable with the answer that it's a no to small impact, then we can move forward.
I'm good.
That's fine.
Ooh.
And the last question asks, are there similar projects visible within the following distances of the proposed project? 0 to 1/2 mile, 1/2 mile, 3 miles, 3 to 5, 5+. Obviously, the answer to that is yes.
I think you can just circle, because it's within a 0 to 1/2 mile. There's zero to, you can just make a note that says existing housing somewhere. And then we can check the notice mile on time.
All right, impact on historic and archaeological resources. Proposed action may occur in or adjacent to historic archaeological resources.
I'm fine with checking yes for that.
Yeah, I agree with that. Side. We're adjacent. The entrance is in the proposed historic intervention.
The proposed action may occur wholly or partially within or substantially contiguous to any buildings, archaeological sites, or district which is listed on the National or State Register of Historic Places, or that has been determined by the Commissioner of the New York State Office of Parks, Recreation, and Historic Preservation to be eligible to be listed on the State Register of Historic Places. And I believe that would be a small impact. The proposed action may occur wholly or partially within or substantially contiguous to an area designated as sensitive for archaeological sites on the New York State Historic Preservation Office Archaeological Site Inventory. And this would be a small impact. Proposed action may occur wholly or partially within or substantially contiguous to an archaeological site not included in the New York SHPO inventory. That would be no small impact. If any of the above is answered, moderate to large. Again, it's important to note that as part of the stormwater pollution prevention plan specifically, SHPO has to issue a letter of no effect. Which
is in the record.
Is in there. Correct. So, again, it's not just our opinion, the actual historic office has opined. Impact on open space and recreation. The proposed action may result in the loss of recreational opportunities or a reduction of an open space resource as designated in any adopted municipal open space plan. Do that to be a note.
Perfect. And again, you've proposed the trail network as you've submitted on your plans to continue through the subdivision.
That's correct.
Impact on critical environmental areas. The proposed action may be located within or adjacent to a critical environmental area. And that answer is also a no.
And just to be clear, the critical environmental areas are state designated also.
Correct,
right?
And there are none
one.
Designated here, right? Impacts on transportation. The proposed action may result in a change to existing transportation systems.
Fine with a yes on that.
A yes on that? Projected traffic increase may exceed capacity of existing roadway network. That would be a no. Proposed action may result in the construction of paved parking area for 500 or more vehicles. No. Proposed action will degrade existing transit access. It's a no to small impact. The proposed action will degrade existing pedestrian or bicycle accommodations. Again, I would say no to small impact. The proposed action may alter the present pattern of movements of people or goods. No to small impact. Impact on energy. The proposed action may cause an increase in the use of any form of energy. Be a yes. The proposed action will require new or an upgrade to an existing substation. I believe that to be no. The proposed action will require the creation of or extension of any energy transmission or supply system to serve more than 50 single or two-family residences or to serve a commercial or industrial use. No. The proposed action may utilize more than 2,500 megawatt hours per year of electricity. No. The proposed action may involve heating and or cooling of more than 100,000 square feet of building area when completed. No. Impact on noise, odor, and light. The proposed action may result in an increase in noise, odors, or outdoor lighting. I believe that would be a yes. The proposed action may produce sound above noise levels established by local regulation. No. The proposed action may result in blasting within 1,500 feet of any residence, hospital, school, licensed daycare center, or nursing home. I believe that to be a no. The proposed action may result in routine odors for more than 1 hour per day. No. The proposed action may result in light shining onto adjoining properties. Should that be no to small impact. The proposed action may result in lighting creating sky glow brighter than existing area conditions. Again, that would be a no to small impact. Impact on human health. The proposed action may have an impact on human health from exposure to new or existing sources of contaminants. That would be a no. Consistency with community plans. The proposed action is not consistent with adopted land use plans. That would be no, correct?
Yep. And we'll get the sub-questions. It's not in sharp contrast to the current surrounding land use patterns. It's not a permanent population change to grow by more than 5%. It's not inconsistent with land use plans or the current zoning regulations. It's not inconsistent with county or regional plans. It's not going to cause a change in density development that is not supported by our infrastructure in the village of Philmont. And it may induce secondary development because now it's developing out the lot in full. So yeah, I know for all those based upon the sub-questions is good.
Consistency with human community character. The proposed project is inconsistent with the existing community character. So no answer.
So if the board is in agreement with those answers, finding that there could be some minor impacts by some of the proposed development, but not finding there is a significant negative environmental impact that needs to be addressed or mitigated further by the applicant, you're free to make a motion to issue a negative declaration for purposes of SECRA.
All right, I need a motion for a negative declaration.
I'll
second it.
All right, Rick and Judy. All right, all in favor of a negative declaration?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right, Carrie.
I'm going to need some light to read the next part.
You need some light?
Yeah, I'll need some light. I'd like to review. Paul Freeman sent me the restrictive covenants today, the final version, and I believe those will contain most of the conditions that we had discussed at the meeting. Sorry about that. So we're at the point now where you would consider approval of the subdivision, and we would do a developed resolution for that, which would incorporate all their plans, revisions, mitigations, everything that they did. I have it all in the record. They submitted it all. It's all been listed on the website, so we'd enumerate it. And any special conditions that the board would have, we would put in that resolution. I guess the way I'm pitching it to you tonight is everything they've represented they're going to do, we're going to put in the resolution to make sure that it happens, all right? As far as the covenants and restrictions, I'll cover those. They're putting some on, I say our saleability, you know, just to make the area more pleasant for residential. You can't build a garage before you build a primary house. It's residential only in the subdivision, except for a professional office could be maintained like a home occupation, so no one's going to put a McDonald's or a Burger King on one of the lots, right? No above-ground pools, no noxious, dangerous, or offensive activities of any nature, only common domestic pets. No owner shall keep any farm animals, horses, cows, sheep, llama, goats, roosters, and the like on the lot. We actually have a village from Mount Law to that effect. Anyway, all utilities are going to be installed underground. All exterior construction must be completed before occupancy and within 18 months from the time of commencement. So there's no really, really three-year builds going on here. No commercial mining or soil extraction. If they strike gold, maybe they'll come back and change their plans, but no trucks larger than a 2-ton capacity, no commercial vehicles, recreational vehicles, trailers, campers, or boats may be parked or stored on the premises except in a garage or a barn. No unlicensed motor vehicles for more than 5 days, no further subdivision of any of the lots, so this can't be sold or flipped in 5 years and broken up further. No hunting or trapping on the lots. Lot to be kept in a generally neat and orderly condition. They should keep all swales, drainage, ditches, culverts, pipes free of debris and other materials to prevent the free flow of stormwater, so that the stormwater pollution prevention plan is accommodated. Rain gardens in particular are constructed as part of the stormwater pollution prevention plan and must be maintained with comparable species to those originally installed. All yard debris must be cleared from them so they maintain drainage properties, and trees shall not be allowed to grow within the rain gardens. Each lot tree clearing shall be limited to a maximum of 50% of the pre-development magnitude of trees size at a 12-inch diameter or more. That's one of the things we've discussed. As of the date of the covenant, the following chart depicts the number of trees present on each lot. So they've included a lot number, and they've included the tree count for the minimum number of trees 12 inches or greater. Like, for instance, lot 1 has 13 trees, lot 5 has 15 trees, lot 7 has 14 trees, and they do that for each lot. Lot 15 has 24 trees. So that was the analysis that they provided. Prior to the issuance of any building permit by the village, a table of pre-development tree quantities at 12 inches or more diameter will be prepared for each lot, and a clearing plan will be provided whereby such clearing will be limited to 50% or fewer of the surveyed trees. Any trees less than 3 years old may be used to satisfy this provision. The village may charge a reasonable fee not exceeding $150 for the cost of the review of the tree survey and to ensure compliance with the same in clearing of any lot. So every time a building permit's drawn, those trees are going to be examined, charted, and plotted. Notwithstanding any of the foregoing, exceptions we made for trees to be hazard trees removed for safety purpose, a tree is suffering insect damage, rot, or storm damage. By an arborist, not just this tree's sick, I'm cutting it down. You know that can happen. Penalties for excess clearing will include requirement that any trees improperly removed will be replaced, and until such action is undertaken, monthly recurring fees, fines, as set by the village shall be imposed on anyone violating this covenant. Remediation is defined as the replacement of any improperly cleared trees with trees of equal quantity, and at least 4 inches in diameter, with a continuing obligation to maintain those trees, or the number of trees in perpetuity. Any home plan must adhere to the following regarding color of the structures. The intention is to restrict visibility from the lake and through the woods, and to have the houses indiscernible as much as possible during the winter season when the leaves are down. Structures include homes, accessory buildings, fences, or any village-permitted structure. Structure colors will be limited to any natural material or dark hues similar in color and hue to those darker colors and natural hues found in the Benjamin Moore Historic Color Collection. So that's in compliance with the, I mean, normally you can paint a house bright pink if you want. That will mitigate the impacts that the public brought up. No temporary or permanent parking of vehicle on the woods road, including before and after said roadway is dedicated to the village of Philmont, except for temporary parking for local deliveries such as UPS, FedEx, etc. These covenant restrictions shall run to the land and shall be binding on all lot owners, their heirs, successors, and assigns in perpetuity. And it does delegate the rights to the village of Philmont to enforce it, as well as the landowners and the developers, as long as they own lots there. And it's to be signed by the corporation, and it's to be signed by the village of Philmont, and it is to be notarized, and they will be recorded and put on record so that anybody who buys a lot in there, this will be in their title report. That pretty much memorializes the conditions that we wanted them to put out there. If there's any other discussion of any other conditions that the board had, as we said earlier, they're going to acknowledge their construction is to not disturb the bat species and things. They've already got those as of record and in the record. And I can't think as I sit here, is there anything we're missing, Brandy, that you need covered or Jock?
I don't think so. It's pretty comprehensive.
Anything that the board, I mean, we've been at a lot of meetings. Does anything stick out as hasn't been covered or?
Yes, I have a question. I'm a little confused about the enforcement of the covenants since there's so many of them. Mm-hmm. And can the board get a copy of this?
Yeah, I got it this afternoon in a final version, so yeah, I can circulate it.
For example, you said that there will be no subdivision allowed, but the zoning allows subdivision. So
it does. So that would be a right that would be enforceable by the other residents within there, because if I own the large lot, maybe I don't want it broken in. If I'm a neighbor to the large lot, I don't want it broken into four or five other lots. And I'll tell you, with the restrictive covenants, they can be modified. So everybody, a majority of the people in the area can say, we all want above ground pools, let's remove that restrictive covenant. But as the village is a signatory to this, would have to be a party to that removal of that condition. So it's rare that you see the municipality given enforcement provisions over restrictive covenants, but it's more so that the village can enforce the tree coloring or tree cutting and those sorts of impacts.
But if I understood you correctly, it's up to a neighbor reporting the violation.
Or the village discovering the violation. Like if the village building inspector went up there and saw someone clear-cutting the trees off the lot, this is a contractual agreement between the owners who are on notice when they buy and the village that the village can enforce and stop them from cutting those trees. Anywhere else in the village, people could cut as many trees as they want.
So this will be a special mapping within the zoning map?
No, it'll just be relevant to this subdivision as a recorded document in the county clerk's office, and it will maintain in the building inspector or building department's file as to when people draw permits there. And that's why it has the condition that when they draw a permit, the trees will be confirmed, checked, and they have to file a plan as to which ones they're going to remove.
But the covenants will have to have a boundary, so that has to be very clear on the map. Exactly what the boundary is.
It's going to apply to the properties owned by Clover Reach Partners for this approval. Excuse me.
But once they're gone, once Clover Reach is gone, mm-hmm. that's my concern is how. That the village is taking on this rather large responsibility to enforce these covenants, the colors of the houses, all these various things.
Well, yeah, it's up to the neighbors because they're buying with these covenants and restrictions to protect the value and the aesthetics of their land. And it's up to the village to take an enforcement action. I'll be honest with you, Tom, 10, 20 years from now, if the issue is presented that someone's painted their house the wrong color, the village board of the time will have to say, let's take action on it or not take action on it. Let's meet with the owner, let's send the code officer up. It's not an ultimate, complete, total bar, but it gives the village the legal right to enforce these mitigation issues, these mitigation impacts, to avoid the cutting of trees and to keep the visualness of the subdivision down. I'm not gonna sit here and go on record 20 years from now that says it's a perfect answer, but it's the best answer they can give by placing these rights and giving the village the rights to do it. Because they could have said, the previous subdivision before that were approved, they didn't put any restriction on cutting trees and cut as many trees as they want. So they did that for us and then gave us the right, the village the right, to protect them.
Okay, I just wanted to be sure to understand that you're calling it a right. I think it's another huge additional responsibility on the village's part that will be taken on by the code enforcer, by the building department, and by boards, the zoning and planning boards. It's a much larger responsibility.
I'm not going to characterize it as huge like you did, but yes, you are correct.
Okay.
It was a responsibility that the village is undertaking.
Okay.
Anything else? Anybody that has a concern to address as far as the project? If not, you're at that point in time. Mm-hmm. It would be a motion to approve the subdivision as per the submitted plan, subject to a final resolution. But the approval would be denied. We would just be memorializing the terms, conditions, plans, specifications, and dates in the resolution.
All right. Any other questions?
The only thing I had was there's 2 foot shoulders here. Who decides that measurement? I don't know. Most places I've been, it's a 3 foot shoulder. So I'm just wondering what the shoulder is going to be.
Well, it's decided first by the design engineer. It was reviewed by the DPW. They didn't have an issue with it. I don't have an issue with it from an engineering standpoint.
Our
chief didn't have an issue with it.
Normally they had that 3 foot. That's fine. Yeah. Except that's what they want. That's it.
Anything else? All right, so I need a motion then to accept the subdivision as designed and the covenants.
Approve, not accept.
Approve.
We accepted it, yeah.
I'll make the motion.
Judy?
I second it.
Who's second, Ozzy?
Yeah.
Ozzy?
I have a question. So what we're voting on now, not on the negative declaration?
No, you already neg-decked it.
That was that process.
That was the secret process. So your negative declaration has been issued. Now you're approving the subdivision.
Oh, but the board doesn't have to agree to what
no.
that was done.
No.
Oh, okay.
No. Right. You're free to vote. You're conscious.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. All in favor of approving the subdivision with the covenants?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Nay.
Tom's nay.
Right, and I approve. You got all that?
Mm-hmm.
And Tom Pino was a nay?
Yep.
Okay. All right, so approved.
We are done.
Thank you so much for all the many months of attending. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Long haul.
Yeah. I'll be working with their attorney to memorialize everything that you made a condition of approval into a resolution.
And I get a copy of all that, right?
Yeah, and you'll sign off on it, and we'll be good to go.
And then I'll have it back here in the file. So. All right, do us proud.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
We were going to need for the electric company to like stamp approved plat.
Randy said
she'd get it to us and it'll be just all bottle stamped and all.
Yep.
And
then we'll get I'm around.
Wait a minute.
Dan will do it tomorrow morning. He's coming back.
Now, here's one thing. I'm leaving on August 9th, so.
Okay.
If you want them stamped before then, unless Rob can do it, I don't know.
No, I can't. It's all you.
Yes.
Where are you going? We'll find you.
I don't think you will. I'm going to Newfoundland. There's lots of hiding places.
I know the address, though. Yeah. So. It might be found.
It's okay.
We'll get them to you.
In his absence.
Please give me the final plat. Yeah. So he and I'll talk tomorrow.
If your time constraint or anything.
All right, you got the
Ms. Tice can sign
the vouchers?
Yes.
All right, hang on. I have vouchers for everybody.
Hold on. Let me just.
Thank you.